God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, as always, Father, I pray that you open our hearts and minds to receive this message of thankfulness, of grace tonight, Lord. And thank you for this teaching that you're going to give us tonight, Father God, that we may realize and know that all things are through you and by you and because of you, Father. And we thank you that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came to be the example for us to follow when it comes to being thankful in our lives, in our faith, and in this world. And we praise you, Lord, and we just ask that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. So an attitude of gratitude. We use that term a lot in Celebrate Recovery, but you know, it's an attitude of gratitude is a great attitude to have as Christians. Amen. And it's actually a necessary attitude to have. Amen. As Christians. So my sermon is going to be really based off of Philippians 4:6 today. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Amen. By everything, it says. Every situation. Amen. So, as always, we give thanks to the Lord. There's a legend of a man who found the barn where Satan supposedly kept his seeds that he was ready to sow into the human hearts. Amen? And on finding the seeds of discouragement that were more numerous than the other seeds, okay, Satan had many seeds of discouragement, he learned that those seeds could be made to grow almost anywhere. Those seeds of discouragement, Satan could grow those seeds almost anywhere. But when Satan was questioned, he reluctantly admitted that there's one place in which he could never get these seeds of discouragement to grow. And so they asked him, "Where's that, Lucifer? Where is it that you can't get your seeds of discouragement to grow?" And he said, he paused for a minute and he replied sadly, he said, "That would be in the heart of a grateful man." In the heart of a grateful person. Amen? That's where Satan cannot get the seeds to grow. So thankfulness leaves no room for discouragement. Amen? Thankfulness in our lives leaves no room for discouragement. Satan doesn't want to mess with someone that's thanking God all day, every day. Amen? Because that's where our strength comes from. So let us be forever grateful and live in thanksgiving for every blessing, but most especially for that blessing of the promise of eternal life, that he's gone to prepare a place for us. Amen. And that's the main thing to be thankful for each and every day. So, but the question is today is, does thanking someone come to us naturally? Amen. Does thanking someone come to us naturally? When I say naturally, I mean sort of like, you know, in our sin nature, right? Before we were in Christ, okay? So does thanking someone come to us naturally, or do we have to be coaxed into thanking others, usually, you know? And then how about when it comes to God? Can we be intentional in thanking God and thanking others? Or is it something that we have to be coaxed into? Amen? And we're going to talk about that. So an attitude of gratitude is my sermon title. And we all know that thankfulness is important, right? We know thankfulness is important, but still, God knows it's necessary for us to be constantly reminded of that, okay? He has to constantly remind us of the fact that it's necessary for us to live in a life of gratitude. So let's look into the Bible today, and we're going to see some interesting statistics about Thanksgiving, okay? I don't know if any of you know this, but we're going to see some interesting statistics. And it says, you know, we're going to see how much we all know about this topic in the Bible, okay? And I'm using NIV as usual, okay? So you might see some minor differences in the other versions, but in the NIV, this is what it says. So the first question for you is tonight is, what is the first time Thanksgiving, do you think Thanksgiving is mentioned in the Bible? When do you think is the first book, if we could say, where Thanksgiving is mentioned in the Bible? Any guesses? Genesis? Nope, it's not. Yeah, huh?
Too far back.
Too far back, yeah. What? Richie? Oh, Richie knew, see? You even beat your dad to it. Good job, Richie. Amen. So, this came as a surprise to me personally, amen? But the books of Genesis and Exodus, which are the first two, okay, they're full with miraculous signs and wonders, right? Miraculous signs and wonders and great deeds of God. So you would naturally expect that the concept of thanksgiving, right, had already been mentioned in these two books, right, many times. Because, I mean, how many times were they blessed in the garden, right? How many times was Abraham blessed, right? But yet no mention of thanksgiving in the Bible until the book of Leviticus, okay? And in the book of Leviticus, it says in chapter 7, this is the first time, okay, that we're talking about the word thankfulness, okay, or thanksgiving. And it says, they offered it as an expression of thankfulness. Then along with this thank offering, they are to offer thick loaves. So this is talking about a thanks offering, okay? So it's sort of like a sin offering that they did back in the Bible, right? But this is a thanks offering. So it says, they are to offer thick loaves made without yeast and with olive oil mixed in, thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with oil, and thick loaves of the finest flour, well kneaded, and with oil mixed in. All along their fellowship offering of thanksgiving, they are to present an offering with thick loaves of bread. So it just keeps on going about this thanksgiving offering, right? Okay? So, isn't it interesting to note that throughout the book of Genesis and Exodus, the concept of thanksgiving is not mentioned or recorded, okay? It's not mentioned or recorded. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not like they didn't worship God. They worshiped God, amen? They just didn't use the term thankfulness or thanksgiving, okay? So, it's not mentioned or recorded. Adam and Eve did not thank God for the beautiful creation that God had entrusted to them. And Abraham didn't seem to thank God for giving him a child at his ripe old age, right? You think he would have thanked him for that, right? But he didn't even do that. The concept of worshiping the Lord is mentioned, but not thanksgiving itself. So the families of Isaac and Jacob, they contended with the blessings of God. That's what the Bible says. They contended with the blessings of God. They dealt with the blessings, right? As they came, they received it and they enjoyed it. But it says that they contended, but they didn't give thanks, okay? So rather than thanking him for the same thing, they contended with it. And Joseph's brothers, they don't thank the Lord for the way God made Joseph a big man in Egypt and saved all of their lives, amen? You think they would have thanked God for that, right? No, not even after the spectacular miracles of crossing the Red Sea, right? Or the provision that the Lord provided of the manna in the wilderness, right? Or all the provision, right? Clothes that didn't wear out, and right? And all the manna and the water, right? The water from the stone, and so through all of that, you know, and they even complained, right? They even complained about the things the Lord provided for them in the wilderness, right? So not only did they give thanks, but they complained about it too. So, you know, so the more we research about this, you know, the more perplexed I became about it, because it's like, really? You know, you just don't think about that. So I thought about our own culture, you know, our own culture that we live in. And before, you know, we became Christians, before I became a Christian, I never really gave much importance to Thanksgiving, right? We never really give a whole lot of importance to Thanksgiving. At my home, I never said thank you to my mom and my dad for the things that they provided in my life, right? I just kind of expected it, right? Just kind of expected, you know, the parents provide for you, right? So you don't really give thanks for it. Matter of fact, sometimes we're very ungrateful as kids too, right? And so at the home, you know, we never really said thank you and stuff like that. But don't get me wrong, I was happy with the things they did for me, and the gifts they gave me, but the formal expression of thanksgiving just isn't something natural that we have in our hearts. Amen? So, the concept of thanksgiving remained like a formal, nice-to-do thing, right? It was like a formal thing to do, a nice thing to do. And this, you know, it's interesting, and it can actually be seen as a contrast, okay? So before Christ and after Christ, or the contrast that we're going to be talking about right now is the Old Testament and the New Testament, okay? So in the Old Testament, there wasn't a whole lot of thanksgiving. So it's very interesting to note that the concept of thanksgiving appears for the first time as a law in Leviticus, okay? It appears as a law in Leviticus, as a mandatory sacrifice that the Israelites were required to offer. So it appears God knew about the ungrateful nature of mankind. God knew, right? God knows. He knew about the ungrateful nature of mankind, and he wanted to institute this concept through the Mosaic covenant of the law. Because at least we would listen when he had, when we had this Mosaic covenant to follow, right? So I guess the Lord has always known that we need the law, right? Especially today, amen? We need the law. We need the law to keep us in line. So, you know, on with the statistics. The next one should be easy. The next question, in which book is Thanksgiving, do you think Thanksgiving is mentioned last? Huh?
Revelation,
right? That's the last book, of course, right? We can't go beyond that, right? So Revelation. However, it's in Revelation 11:17, so it's not at the end of the book, okay? In Revelation 11:17 is the last time they mention it. And I got it marked. It says, then the dragon... was it? No, I'm sorry. That's 12. but after 3.5 days, hold on a second. 17. Where is it at? Oh, here it is. Saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and the one who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. That's the last time they talk about thankfulness. Amen. In the Bible. So altogether, thankfulness appears about 370 times in the NIV version of the Bible, okay? 370 times. But don't confuse it with the word thanksgiving, because that appears much less, okay? So thankfulness. And which book of the Bible talks about the most? Which one do you think? About thankfulness? Richie? Psalms, that's right. Man, Richie's good. He is so good. You must be going to Christian school, huh? Amen. All right. 78 times in the book of Psalms it talks about thankfulness. Amen. And there are 8 Psalms that are just about thankfulness, and that's it. Amen. So 78 times, so in the Psalms. But here again, if we actually leave out David, there's very few places in the Old Testament where thankfulness is mentioned, okay? So David had a big part of that in the Old Testament. So after Leviticus, the first Bible verse giving thanks is by David, of course, in 2 Samuel 22:50. Amen? And that says, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Amen? David sure had a way with words, right? About giving thanks most especially to God. And after David, we find thanksgiving only in Ezra and Nehemiah. So even in the book of Job, okay? Even in the book of Job, after God gives him everything and so much more back, there's no mention of thankfulness. There's no mention of thankfulness. So basically the most notable exception of David... Chronicles and the Psalms, okay? And the concept of thanksgiving is not a very popular topic in the Old Testament, okay? It's just not a popular topic. So what does this tell us? Firstly, it says thankfulness or an attitude of gratitude is not something that comes natural. We already covered that, right? It's not something that comes naturally to us. Our default wiring in our minds as human beings is to be ungrateful. That's our default. If we don't have Jesus in our lives, naturally we're just ungrateful for things. We tend to be more ungrateful than grateful for things. And so our default setting is to take things for granted and complain about things that don't go right. right? We like to look at the world as a cup half empty instead of half full, right? When we don't have Christ in our lives. And so our natural tendency is to look at things, you know, the wrong things. We tend to look at the wrong things in people and point it out, right? It's kind of a, you know, and that's, I'm talking about, you know, when we don't have Christ living in us, amen? We tend to look at the bad things in people, and it's easier to see the world as, you know, the glass is half empty than it is half full in our nature. So we're experts at finding out the wrongs of others. We don't automatically count our blessings, although we should, right? We don't automatically count our blessings. In contrast, once we shift to the New Testament, okay, in contrast, we can actually see this concept becomes more prevalent and the expressions of thanksgiving increase, okay? And there's a great reason for that. Almost all books of the New Testament speak about thankfulness or gratitude. And it shouldn't come as a surprise because as a true leader, Jesus led by example. Right? Jesus led by example when it came to thanksgiving. He thanked the Father before he did everything, right? Before he fed the multitudes, before he brought people back to life, before he healed, he was always thanking the Father. Amen? So he set the precedent. He set the example for us to follow. He gave thanks before everything. The Last Supper, just everything. Amen? And most of Paul's letters, Paul followed his example as well. Most of Paul's letters start with thanksgiving, right? And he wrote more books in the New Testament than anybody, right? So to me, it means one thing. An attitude of gratitude is a very Christian thing. It's a very Christian thing. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 sums it up for me. It says, "In everything, give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It is the will of God when Christ is living through you. Amen? To give thanks for everything. It says, and I want you to read along with the first time thanksgiving is mentioned in the Bible. So we talked about that in Leviticus. Here, thanksgiving is given as a law under the category of peace offerings. Okay? It's a law that God gave us as a peace offering. The thanks offering is given in thankfulness for some special mercy received. Okay? So God reminded us that we have to give thanks for certain things that we received, right? Such as a recovery from sickness, which is something to be grateful for, amen? When the Lord heals us of sickness, the preservation of a journey, deliverance at sea was a big one back then, redemption out of captivity. There was a lot of redemption out of captivity for God's people, amen? All of which are specified in Psalms 107. And for them, men are called upon to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In Psalms 107:22, amen? And it says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." There it is again. You know, what Paul is telling us is that this law is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This law is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And hence, as this is the new covenant, right? This is the new covenant, okay? We don't have to make the sacrifices anymore, amen? The ultimate sacrifice has been made for all of us, amen? And that is the thankfulness that we live in when we have Christ in our lives. So we have received grace, we have received mercy, we have received deliverance, we have received healing, we have received wealth, we have received protection, and we have received provisions, all because of the finished work of the cross. Amen? We got many things to be grateful for in our lives, right? So many things to be grateful for. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for each of us. David gave thanks for all the mercies that he received. He gave thanks for saving him and his people from sickness, from war, from flood, from wild animals. You and me have so much more to be thankful for. Amen? so much more. We're so blessed in this country today. We have so many things to be grateful for. We also have all the normal reasons, amen, to thank God. We got the stars in the sky. We got the sun, the moon, the muscles in our bodies, the blood flowing through our veins, amen. The ability to hear this message and be grateful for it. The ability to hear this message right here, right now. There's the breath that we take every second, right? Every breath we take, we got to be thankful for. There are multiple areas of protection that we get from various dangers in the world, especially in our country, right? There is healing available to us. There is food on our tables. How many of us are going to eat well tomorrow, amen? Or maybe even tonight, right? I mean, it might be a lot of work, but we're blessed, amen? We're blessed, and God's going to bless us, and we have so much to be thankful for. All we have to do is count our blessings all day, every day. Amen? All day, every day. Even if it's just for the breath in our lungs. And there's something beyond all that. All religions teach worship, okay? All religions teach worship. All religions teach prayer. So what's the difference in Christianity? What do you guys believe the big difference is in Christianity, right? Jesus Christ has given us access to God. That's the biggest difference. That's the main difference. Amen? Because that's what we need. Access to God. There it is, right? Jesus Christ has bridged the gap between us and God. He removed the separation between man and God. Jesus Christ made the Holy of Holies from the common man achievable. Amen? We don't have to be the high priest to get into the Holy of Holies anymore. Amen? The new covenant has come. And Jesus Christ gave us the right to call God our daddy. I don't use that term a lot, but he gave us the right to call God our daddy. Amen? He restored our relationship to the Father. Jesus Christ made our relationship with God, and we say this all the time here, right? A personal relationship. A personal relationship. And, you know, Christ has promised us the mansion in heaven, right? John 14:2 says he went to prepare a place for us. Amen? He's promised us a mansion. Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. And for Christians, Thanksgiving is not a ritual. It's not a ritual. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. It's a personal discussion with God our Father. Even our prayers should be seasoned with thanksgiving. Everything we say, everything we do. Paul advises Christians in Philippians 4:6, my main verse today. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God wants to hear our requests. He wants to hear our thankfulness. So this evening, can we shed our natural tendencies to be ungrateful? Amen? Let's shed our natural tendencies to be ungrateful. And shall we know that true worship happens when we have thankfulness in our hearts? That's when the true worship happens. And shall we accept that attitude of gratitude is the will of God in Christ Jesus for all of us? Okay? Have Christ in our lives, and that is the will of God. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this Thanksgiving Eve, we bow our hearts to you and we pray. Lord, we give you glory. We give thanks for all you've done, especially for the gift of Jesus, your Son. For beauty in nature, your glory we see, Father. For joy and health, friends and family. For daily provision, your mercy and care. These are the blessings you graciously share. So today we offer this response of praise, Father, with the promise to follow you all of our days. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah.